If you're running a business or have a significant role in one, you have problems and little fires that come up every single day. How you deal with them determines how successful your business is currently and how much it could grow. This podcast combines NLP with tactical solutions to help you solve those problems and accelerate your growth. Hi, I'm Kaylin Ellsbury, and I've been coaching entrepreneurs and executives for years. And when I discovered NLP, my entire world changed. I've grown up my entire life living inside hospitals, battling cystic fibrosis, and now I'm speaking all over the world and helping transform corporations from some of the very tactics you will learn here. Things like preventing burnout, improving productivity, increasing sales, and sharing the systems and processes to create a life where you are consistently a high performer. Welcome to Shark School. Hey Sharks, welcome to today's show. So this is a fun one because we actually got our first listener. I almost said reader. Fail. I just left the gym, so my brain's a little scattered. And that just means we're going to have a lot more fun. So basically, we got our first listener email, and it's super exciting because this is something that is near and dear to my heart. Many of you know I was a recruiter for years. I even had my own recruiting company for a while. And then I left it to start pursuing other endeavors such as this and the speaking side and the coaching side. And it's always interesting when I get messages about recruiting because you can take the recruiter out of the employer, but you can never take that personality and that fight and that spirit. And really, when we think about the name Shark School, it came from my background in assertive selling environments. It was very much what I would consider a boiler room environment where it was highly competitive, highly phone sales driven. It was hardcore. It wasn't necessarily a great company culture. I mean, we were all friends, but you take my candidate, I'm going to cut you over it. You know what I mean? So maybe not. You guys are all, I'm sure, very well run. In any event, today's about counteroffers and why they are a horrible idea from an employer perspective. We are going to jump straight into this and explain really what they are, what the situation was, why they usually aren't effective, and then strategies for finding a more efficient long-term solution. Because I think at the end of it, that's why you listen to this show, is you want long-term solutions to whatever problem you're facing. I firmly believe in the action side, not the problem side. So this is a great email of, he gives me the situation, he doesn't give me any emotional attachment to it, and he's simply looking for a solution. So we are going to work with our new friend, Kevin from Boston. He's the VP of sales for a fairly large company. He did say which one, but just in case he does not like my answer, I'm not going to give him that public shout out. But before we dive in, I just want to give a really quick shout out to those who are enrolled in Shark School's social media course. You all are crushing it. I love seeing the engagement and your followers grow up. A lot of you transformed your Instagram walls, and it's just such a better, clean aesthetic. I feel like your branding's on point. You guys are doing terrific. So thank you, Sharks, for crushing it and just proving how amazing it is to build our businesses leveraging online technology. You all inspire me more than you know. Okay, so the email from Kevin reads, "Hey, Kaylin, I'm guessing that's how he sounds. Hey, Kaylin, I listened to your first podcast and you were helping your fiance. I'm not sure if this is in your expertise." He didn't know at the time I was in recruiting. "Thought I'd reach out and see. I have an employee who recently interviewed for a similar position at a company that isn't a direct competitor and received an offer. This is a key employee. They offered him $7,000 more than what he is making now, and he put in his 2-week notice. I've asked my advisors what to do, and they told me to match it and add a bonus. Yet I'm unsure. Why are counteroffers considered bad, or should I listen to my advisors?" Well, Kevin, shit, you are not going to like me. So first of all, there's a couple of rules when we leverage NLP on how you can actually think through this. First of all, I need you to think of that employee. You need to respect their model of the world. You don't know necessarily what led them to make that change, and jumping to any conclusions can be disastrous. I firmly believe in all of my experience, very rarely can counteroffers from an employer fix the employee's original problem. We're going to get into all of that, but go into the next couple moments of this podcast by thinking about their other model of the world. So the way they see the world, what they interpret happening at the company, led them to go behind your back and interview for another position and get that other position. Now, maybe they were reached out to, or it was a referral from somebody else. That's not the point. The point is they thought to interview to see what else is out there, and somebody sold them on that opportunity. Recruiting is just sales, people. So when you go into this, you need to respect their model of the world and try to put yourself in their shoes and what they would do. There is no good, nor is there a bad. There just is. What can be good for one person is actually pretty bad for another, and vice versa. What's bad for some people is really good for others. So instead of thinking in terms of good or bad, I need you to think there are effective and ineffective relating to the outcome that you want. And we need to consider the why before you take my advice, before you take your advisor's advice, before you trust your employee, before you trust yourself to make the decision. So think about what it is that actually happened that caused them to go somewhere else. And then think about if it's a defective or ineffective when you think about like what the outcome is you want. So if the outcome you want is for them to stay at your organization, then we need to look at the strategies and the systems and processes that you put behind that. What is effective and what isn't? So remember the other thing I want you to think about as we go into this. The employee is doing the best they can with the resources that they have available, or at least they think they are. So the employee wouldn't want to change positions if they did not think that would be the best decision for them. That's human nature. That's how our minds work. You are coming at this trying to do the best you can for your own selfish needs. And it's not necessarily, remember, good or bad. It just is. So by you wanting to keep the employee, it's satisfying a need of yours, whether it's their key employee, you don't want to look bad, you're afraid of the costs about it, about finding new talent, which, yeah, it's not cheap. So just remember going into it, the employee is doing the best they can with the resources they have available, and you need to respect their model of the world. So the first question I want to pose to you, Kevin, did the employee leave out of strictly income? In rare situations where the answer is yes, I've got a few follow-up questions. Why didn't you pay them appropriately to begin with? If the employee left strictly out of income and they know you were underpaying them, they do not feel valued anymore. We have a bigger problem. You are underpaying your employees. Now, it could just be that one key employee, but it could be a common thread throughout the company because we have talked before, how you do anything is how you do everything. So is this the only person in your company you're underpaying? Why didn't they trust you to be able to go to you with the salary discrepancy? Something happened that caused that employee to get online or go to a networking event or be recruited, and they discovered that they are worth more at another company. Why couldn't they come to you and talk to you about salary? That's a failure in communication on leadership's part. Something happened and there was no trust. Do they feel like they can communicate with you in general? Most people, if they're going behind your back and finding another position and then trying to get a counteroffer, you have a communication issue. You don't have an employee issue. You don't have a pay issue. It is at the very root a communication issue. Does the work-life balance equate to the differences in income? Maybe this place is 2 miles from his house and yours is 20. All right, so if he's making more and it's closer, that's still a root problem that you may or may not ever be able to fix, and salary alone will not fix that. So see what else there is besides the income that's missing. We get into some questions a little later on how to do that. And then are you absolutely 100% sure it was monetary? Like without a doubt. Let me give you a little hint on this. It almost never is. And by the time you understand the root of the problem, it's too late, and money doesn't fix the root of these problems. Now, here's where we get into some entertaining things. We need to think about this from your model of the world, Kevin, and your employee's model of the world. So from that perspective, I need you to consider that now members of the team know. All the members, if this was a key employee, people either reported to them or they are well-liked, trusted, respected by other teammates, right? We can all agree with that. Anytime you get a job or a job offer, you typically don't keep it to yourself. There are other people on the team, more than likely, that are aware of what happened. And now they're going to know that, hey, at this company, if you shop around, management, if they like you, will give you a counteroffer. So if you don't, you risk more people actually leaving. You have internal jealousy issues. And if you don't proactively manage this, you're going to develop a culture where employees feel they can't communicate with management and are underpaid for their work. You do not want your employees shopping around for the best rates to say that they're going to quit in hopes that you'll offer them more. You just created a culture where there's a distrust and lack of communication. It is a ripple effect, especially if it comes down to being underpaid. It's not money that's the issue. Additionally, the work quality will reach the pay supply. So let's think about this. If I know, you know, it's also why, you know, we don't give discounts, right? If you do not value what we are able to bring to the table, then don't pay for it. Like, I'm not going to cut my rate. That's unethical, right? Because everybody pays the exact same rate based on the value perceived. And if you don't think you are getting that amount of value, then no negotiation will ever be able to convince you otherwise. It's the same thing when it comes down to the workforce. So if employees feel underpaid, they're going to contribute less. They're going to contribute to the level at which they feel valued. In addition, they're probably going to start looking for other opportunities, more than likely on your watch. Estimated 80% of employees are looking for other jobs while at work during working hours. And the most popular day for this, get this, Monday. Yeah, the day that we should all be really focused and catching up over the weekend, they are looking for jobs. Now, why Monday? Because they don't want to be there that day, especially if they feel they are underpaid or underappreciated, because at the core of who we all are, we just want to be loved and appreciated. And if those two feelings are missing from the workforce, you can bet Monday morning while you're paying them to be there, they're secretly looking for other working hours. Not to mention the time they're going to suddenly take off being sick because they're interviewing. And if you couple that with the staff discovering that they are all underpaid, you have a major disaster. So we're going to go even further. I hope I'm really bringing to you the repercussions of what's happening when an employee says, hey, I want to take another job offer. I'm so sorry, I've got to go. And you say, actually, let me fix this. Here's more money. So I'm going to go even further. From your point of view, Kevin, as a manager and a leader, your employee has now admitted they weren't happy by going behind your back and pursuing something else. More often than not, if you have a difficult week where there becomes too many projects, you're going to question their loyalty and if they will stick it out. This new employee, giving them $7,000 more is great, whatever it is. However, if you have a really tough, challenging few weeks, how do you deep down trust that they're not going to continue to look somewhere else? If they broke that trust with you when times were good, $7,000 is not going to fix what happens when times are bad. In addition, when times get challenging, if there are ever layoffs or cutbacks, that person is going to be the first person to jump ship because they already know they were undervalued to begin with. They may not even give you a 2-week notice. I've seen it before in corporations where the key employee just refuses to show up for work because they didn't know how to confront you because you came at it with a, hey, here's more money. It doesn't fix the underlying issues. And we're going to get into the 7 biggest underlying issues in just a second. You'll wonder who else in the company they've told, again, making it look like you can't communicate. Now you're building essentially a wall, not a Trump wall. You're building a wall around your entire corporate culture. They may continue to quietly look if they don't address the core needs of why they were looking for alternatives in the future. And you may quietly start to recruit if that trust is built. Or if you don't ever feel like you're in 100% alliance with them or have strong rapport, see the previous episode, you may think that you're looking for a replacement to then let them go. And that's an interesting thing to consider. Because if there ever is another communication gap and they already came at it feeling unworthy or not paid for their skill set or underappreciated, they're just going to assume you're starting to recruit until you find someone to replace them. Counteroffers are like Band-Aids on a deeper issue. It's addressing the symptom, not the cause. All right, so we've brought this up several times. What are the reasons employees actually leave? There's seven of them. I'm sure there's more, but these are the seven that are the most common that I've seen in my careers doing recruiting. Number one, not enough growth or too much growth. Believe it or not, it's so hard for leaders to understand some people just don't want to be managers. I have an organization that, it's actually really funny. They have a team lead and they really wanted to promote him up to a VP. But they just weren't responding to the challenges that the organization was having. They weren't as dedicated. They actually started taking more time off. And everyone was really concerned, why is this team lead slacking off? They have literally the red carpet experience in the management. And after a conversation, the team lead admitted, like, hey, I just hire a manager. I don't want that. So too much. And as leaders, that's really tough for us to understand because we're so used to having our model of the world that we forget to respect theirs. Maybe they have zero interest in leading. So it's either too much growth or not enough growth. Too much or too little responsibility. Unstable work environment. Everything's changing constantly. Even in sales organizations, we encourage people to change the cubicles or the desk or the space around about every month and a half. That way it keeps it fresh. There are some people who that's too unstable of a work environment. You get outside of sales, and that is a terrifying idea. Most people really like the situation they're in. They get used to their desk, the people around them. They start to form friendships, and then you rip that away. So think about the stability of the work environment. Also, operational changes or lack of change. If it becomes a culture where people don't see that they're promoted within, or that changes do happen, or that when frustrations are voiced, changes are made and implemented, it's a disaster. There's that lack of trust, which again, that's why most candidates leave, is lack of trust. You don't leave jobs because of money. You leave jobs because inefficient communications and lack of trust. These are some of the causes that go along with that. Is this making sense? I hope you guys are getting this. So the other one is culture. Some cultures just suck. You can smell a company culture when you walk in the door. You can tell if it's assertive, if it's aggressive, it's collaborative, if it's supportive. It does not take an organizational, cultural, consultant, expert, whatever, to figure out what the company culture is. You can see that instantly. Might not be a fit for their personality. Location to their home. The little perks, we used to call them non-monetary values. Little perks are huge. Location of their home, fun happy hours. Does the fridge always have their favorite beverage? Do you do company-sponsored lunches that they're invited to? That kind of thing. And then an inflexible schedule or hours. If they are facing a major life change and the schedule just isn't working, that would be a consideration of that. So before you wave more money at them, I need you to find out the core issues, one of those seven. Find their why, and from that why, you can create the how. So from the candidate perspective, they should see what the core issues was that they were trying to address and discuss it with the original problem to see if a solution even exists. If they're underpaid to begin with, just a tip, look for at least two other issues of those core seven. I'm going to put the core seven in the show notes for you all because I want you to truly take this and think about it. Now, there's only five principles for success in a career. So from your perspective, Kevin, what I want you to do is create a solution in addition to the counteroffer. I'm going to tell you the five principles for success in a career, and then we're going to teach you how to create that solution in addition to the counteroffer. Five principles for success are, number one, know your outcome. Number two, take action. Number three, have awareness of your actions and if they're on target for the ideal outcome. I have cystic fibrosis, so I'm randomly going to cough. And we're going to take a quick break because I want to tell a little side story. I'm coming out with my Audible book in probably the next month or so. And I had to film it in his studio. And one of the main producers was like, you can't cough or clear your throat at all in it. And I put it out on social media. I've got about 50,000 followers. And it was an overwhelming response. Put it in. I spend my entire life coughing and living inside hospitals. And it will never go away. It is something core to my values and my belief system that I always show the sides of cystic fibrosis, not just the highlight reels. So if there is ever a minute where I do need to cough or clear my throat, just know that that is me persevering through cystic fibrosis rather than trying to appear perfect. Good disclaimer. You're welcome. Okay, so there's five principles for success in a career. Number one, know your outcome. Two, take action. Three, have awareness if your actions are on target for that outcome, if you're doing the right things that you need to be doing. Number four, have flexibility. There are times when the actions you are taking are not leading you to that outcome. Be flexible. And number five, operate from excellence. Now, this comes in four categories: mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. From all four realms, you need to operate with extreme excellence. You do those five things, you will be successful in whatever endeavor you want. Something tells me when your employee left, they did not follow all five of those steps when they started interviewing somewhere else. Additionally, if there are five principles for success in building a team, it is those five principles. You both equally messed up on following those five principles. So in a situation where an employee interviewed elsewhere, they probably did other multiple interviews before getting an offer. It's a problem they might have had for months that went unnoticed. And it felt like there was no solution or that they were unwilling to work to find a solution. And so if they know their outcome, that they're stuck in a job that doesn't address their core needs, they took action. They applied for jobs, they were recruited for jobs, whatever it is. So far to go interview and to have a conversation where they can accept an offer. There's a lot of work that goes into that, updating the resume, brushing up on interview techniques from a candidate's model of the world. There's a lot that they had to do to take that kind of action. And they felt like there was no solution or that you were unwilling to work with them to find the solution. So they took action because they couldn't trust that you did. When you have a meeting, and you should with them, you need to ask them specifically if they could have their ideal position, what would it be like? So Kevin, I want you to take some notes and write all this out and literally call a meeting with this employee. And at the very first part of that meeting, I need you to say, okay, so hypothetically, if you could have your ideal position, what would it be like? And then you shut up and listen. They will start to tell you things that you were unaware of. After you listen, see if there's any possibility that it'll match what you can offer. Look for all those seven things we discussed previously. And then what you do is you ask, now, where are you now in relation to what you want, what outcome you want? And they're going to tell you the major gaps. If you have good, strong rapport with them and a good relationship, they will tell you where this job did not meet their needs. Now, if you can fix those, if those are easily fixable or a giant misunderstanding, you don't launch into why they should stay and throw money at them. You simply say, do you want to be here? Or is there any way in which you might be happy staying? And from there, you will have the solution. You are not telling them the solution. They are providing it. Now, if you both agree, you and the other employee, that you want that employee to stay, now you can go through the seven details and find a solution. So you go through step one, not enough growth, too much growth. What is it? Where is the solution? Two, too much or too little responsibility. Where is there a solution? Three, unstable or too stable of a work environment. Find a solution. Four, operational changes or lack of changes. Find a solution. Five, culture. By the way, you can't fix culture. I'm not even going to go into that. If you think you can, we've got bigger issues. We'll address it later. Email the show. I will happily do a rant on that. Six, location to their home or other non-monetary gains. Is there a solution to that? And then inflexible schedule or hours. Is there a solution to that? So think about in advance all the resources your company has to make all of the roots of those problems vanish entirely. Again, most times this candidate is going to continue to look somewhere else, especially if times get tough in the organization. But at least now you know all the things you can take to the negotiation besides money. If they're underpaid, always pay people what they are worth. If you mess that up or you weren't aware of their pay changes, make a commitment to show them how you can tier it in the future to keep up with the economy if you value them. If you don't, well, this is pretty easy for you then, huh? More often than not, a counteroffer, I am going to say it again, cannot salvage a key employee who wants to leave. Instead of thinking of it as failure, as many managers do, consider it just feedback and just start looking for someone else. Just make sure when you do find that other employee, you go through those seven principles and know what else you can bring to the negotiation to secure a great fit. All right, that's it for today. I hope you guys found this super helpful. It's one of those things that it's a very tricky situation whenever there's a counteroffer. And for those of you who are able to negotiate from a principal's point of all of the different facets of a negotiation, not just salary, you tend to have stronger company cultures, better tenure, less change in staff or management. And in general, you tend to be more profitable year over year. So head on over to the show notes page where this is all broken down for you. I'm going to outline the 7 steps and the 5 steps for career success. And it goes without saying, NLP can be highly effective. And I always encourage those listening to do what's considered ecological. So good for you, good for your team, and good for society as a whole. So check out also, go to my website at www.misskaylin.com and drop me a line with the problems you'd like solutions for. And maybe you'll be featured on the next one. If you want a shout out, just go ahead and include your company name or your handle, and I'll gladly put it in there. If you prefer to remain anonymous, that's cool too. And if you do want to learn solutions about the social media selling course, that's also on the website. So everything's there. You got this. Thank you for listening to Shark School. Have a fabulous rest of your day. I want to take a second to thank you all for listening and tuning in. You see, none of this would be possible without you guys downloading, liking, sharing, tweeting, except I'm never on Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIning, whatever. I believe that this work changes and transforms lives. That's why I do it. And I just really want to thank you all for everything you're doing to help contribute to this. You can always find more information on my website, which is www.misskaylin.com. And you can check out the resources tab or just mosey on around and find some of the other things that might be of interest to you. In addition, I am always available on LinkedIn and Instagram. Just spell my name correctly and we're golden. K-L-Y-N. And the last name is Ellsbury. E-L-S-B-U-R-Y. All right. Have a great day, everybody. And I can't wait for you to tune in to our very next episode.